Thank you for joining. Today's Moshiach Matters class, we are holding number 145. We are holding over here in the completion of the story of the digging of the wells, and Revi, Parshas Toldos, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay, so it says Vayal Misham, and he went up from there, Be'er Shava, to Be'er Shava. So we're all familiar with the city Be'er Shava. It's a city in southern Israel, on the south of Israel. And the name Be'er Shava, we find already, Avram Avinu. It's in the vicinity, not far from where the land of Plishtim was. The land of Plishtim. The land of Plishtim actually was pretty much on the coast, close to what's now Gaza. In any case, we had the story earlier that Yitzchak was digging wells in the vicinity of Gerar, in the valley of Gerar, which is a city in Plishtim. But now Yitzchak left after he dug two wells, and those wells were contested. Yitzchak, Isaac, dug a third well, and that well was not contested. But now the verse continues, and it says, V'yal Misham, he left from there, and he went to the city of Be'er Shava. Avram Avinu named the city Be'er Shava, our father Abraham, after he, again, in his days, he also had a fallout or an argument with the people from the Philistines, that they were, you know, with Avimelech, with the king. They made a covenant and they made an oath. An oath comes from the word Shavua. And that's when they named it, the city was called Be'er Shava. So here it says that Yitzchak went from the land of Plishtim and he went up to Be'er Shava. Now, what does it say that he went up to Be'er Shava? What was this going up? So the Radak says, because the land of Israel is higher up. Now, even though Plishtim is already also from the land of Israel, but it's at the very end, at the border. And so going up to Eretz Yisrael and going further inward, I guess eastward you're coming from, it's considered going up. But it's not just a physical aliyah. It's not just a physical elevation. It's a spiritual elevation as well. As he came, let me read you the Radak. Hold on just one second. So the Radak says as follows. Ki Eretz Yisrael ha-machzekes, because the Eretz Yisrael that we have fully possession of is higher up from the land of the Philistines, the land of Plishtim. And he brings two verses from Navi where it shows that Plishtim is lower. But then the Radak continues and he says, all these stories and digging the wells and calling out the names is coming to let you know as follows. Interesting. That here it says, when Yitzchak went up to Be'er Shava, they're going to dig another well. And there's no issue at all. The Torah doesn't even speak of the issue of people contesting it. Because in the land of Israel, that was proper, no one ever contested. The tension was in the Philistine strip, that area called the Gaza Strip, that area. And even though he says, "Ki be'eretz Yisrael amachuzekas, and Eretz Yisrael that we have full possession, yochoyfe be'eretz keretzaynoi, he dug his wells, ve'emoycha b'yadei." No one was protesting. V'chein karashemus keretzaynoi, he was able to give it the names as he wanted. V'hoi b'nei amakam koirenoi sekein, and the people that were also called them, in other words, even though that time our forefathers were living in the land of the Canaanites. But still, in Eretz Yisrael, since this was going to be, in the future, full-fledged Eretz Yisrael, so even in the days of Yitzchak, he was able to dig the wells, and the local inhabitants had no problem with it. And they named it with those names. Chen Avram, Kamosha Kesavno, Avram Avinu had the same situation. And all of this, he says, is a sign, la'ois, it's a sign, la'simen, and it's also coming to show what Hashem is going to give to their children. That since by their children, this was going to be full-fledged Eretz Yisrael. Aval Plishtim, but the land of the Philistines. Again, that refers to that area, the Gaza Strip. And Afa pi shehu shehi me'eretz Yisrael, even though it's also from Eretz Yisrael, lo yuchzaku, we didn't really have a powerful grip on it. Lefikach rabu imahem al magvul. That's why they quarreled on the borders. V'chol zeh lo hidiyam shaloi til mechzekes biyadam. And this is all to notify that this is going to be a contentious spot. I mean, I gave a class a few weeks ago relating to Gaza. It has been throughout history a contentious spot. Even though it was divided and part of Eretz Yisrael, lo yuchziku biyadam, for whatever reason, it's a very resistant land and it was never taken peacefully. And that's why you have in the story of Yitzchak that over there was tension on it. But in the days of Mashiach, it's going to be included in Eretz Yisrael without a problem. Like the lands of three other nations, which Pelishtim is not part of. But we know that in the past we only had possession of seven lands. When Mashiach comes, we're going to have possession of 10 lands. The Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni. That's really interesting. So the Vayal Misham, that Yitzchak goes up Be'er Sheva to Be'er Sheva, it's an aliyah because he's actually going into a holier part of Eretz Yisrael. Which, by the way, explains to us also, again, the Moshiach Nekud over here in this Indian is that this tension in Gaza is going to be until Moshiach comes. But after Moshiach comes, the Radak says it's going to be peacefully in Jewish possession. But that, what does the pasuk say? Vayera elav Hashem balaylahu. Hashem appears to Yitzchak on that night. So Yitzchak has a vision on that very night. And he says, Anoichi elikei Avraham avicha, I am God of Abraham your father. Al tira, don't be afraid. Ki yitcha anoichi, I am with you. So therefore you have nothing to fear. Berechticha, and I will bless you. Berbeisi azarachal, I will increase your children. Ba'avur Avraham avdi, because of Avram, my servant. Okay, so Yitzchak has a vision that night. So I saw something fascinating. An Agra de Kala. Agra de Kala is a sefer by the Bnei Yisachar, great Hasidic master, the Rebbe Reb Tzvi Alamelach of Dinev. He asks a question. It says, Vayeda Elov Hashem Balayla Ahu, that the Eibishter appeared to him on that night. The question over here is, it says that to great prophets, to worthy prophets, holy prophets, the prophets of Israel, of the Jewish people, Hashem appeared during the day. To people that God does not want to appear to, like Bilam, who was the Gentile prophet from Midian, who was an antithesis to holiness, and he actually wanted to use his power of prophecy to curse and to annihilate, to destroy the Jewish people. So God, Hashem essentially dislikes him. But for whatever reason, it's important that he be a prophet, for whatever reason that is. So Hashem comes to visit him in secret, it says. It says God is embarrassed to go to him openly. So Hashem goes to him, sneaks to him at night. So if that's the case, why is Hashem appearing to Yitzhak by night? If Yitzhak is a tzaddik, and he is a tzaddik, so why is Hashem appearing to Yitzchak at night? So the Bnei Yisachar brings something really fascinating, related to what I just mentioned over here, that when Yitzchak went from the land of Pelishtim, and he went up to Be'er Sheva, he's having an aliyah. He's going up. Because even though the land of Pelishtim technically will be part of Eretz Yisrael, as we said before, it's contentious. Therefore, it is Eretz Yisrael, but not completely Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's not fully in our hands yet. So, and he says an amazing thing. He brings from Sefer Chesed Lavram that it says, a Kabbalah Sefer, a book on Kabbalah, that says that when someone travels from outside of the land of Israel and he comes to Eretz Yisrael, you go to visit to Eretz Yisrael, on the first night that you're sleeping in Eretz Yisrael, the Eibishter switches your neshama. Obviously, he probably doesn't mean a full switch of completely of the soul, but a person experiences a neshama upgrade. You get, instead of a nefesh, a soul of chutz li'aretz, you get a soul of Eretz Yisrael. It's the first time I've heard that. This, that there are malachim, different types of angels, well, that we see already in the story of Yaakov Avinu. Now, when Yaakov Avinu had the dream of the ladder, the reason why the angels were going up and then they were going down, it should have been the opposite. Angels live in heaven. So Rashi says that they should have come down first and then go up. So Rashi says the reason why they went up first is because these were the angels that accompany him. We know that every person has angels accompanying him to watch them. Kim Allah of Yitzav, Allah, especially Hashem commands his angels, his malachim, to watch, especially at Tzadik. But by Yaakov Avinu, it says that these angels, since he was on his trip to leave the land of Israel, to go to Haran, to Mesopotamia, therefore the angels of Eretz Yisrael went up first, and then new angels came to the angels that were going to accompany him of Chutz Li'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that's we see already from Malachim. But the fact that a person has a different neshama in Eretz Yisrael than he has in Chutz Li'aretz. But he brings him the Chesed Avraham at the very night that you arrive in Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting, I was in Eretz Yisrael just 2 weeks ago. It's a thing to be aware of. When you go to sleep that night, your neshama will be switched. And the neshama of Eretz Yisrael will come into the person. Already on the first night that you're sleeping, that's when the switch takes place. So that's what's happening over here, he says. But nearly, it appears to me, that's what the B'nai Yisrael says. V'yal nisham be'er shava. That Yitzhak went up from there. And even though it's emphasis that it's there, which there is also part of Eretz Yisrael, but since it's not Eretz Yisrael proper, therefore, going to Be'er Shava was considered an elevation. Vayeda Elav Hashem, and Hashem appeared. That's why Hashem appeared to him, Balayla Ahu, on the very first night. And this appearance of God on the first night is this idea of this upgraded neshama. And by Yitzchak, it was in a conscious way that Hashem appears to him, and Hashem speaks to him. Anyways, really interesting. So we're looking forward to when Mashiach will come soon. We're all going to go to Eretz Yisrael. What kind of spiritual upgrade we're all going to experience. Anyways, Hashem says to Yitzhak over here, I am God your father. I'm sorry, I am God, the God of your father. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. And I will bless you. I will increase your children. And for Avram, because of Avram, my servant. Now, when you tell someone, don't be afraid, it seems like what? That there's reason for them to be afraid. And Hashem is telling him, calming down his nerves, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. So the question over here is, why do we have to say to Yitzchak, don't be afraid? Why would he be afraid? Now we find similar to that by Avram Avinu. Hashem said to Avram Avinu also, after he fought the war of the four kings, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem says to him, Al tira Avram, don't be afraid, Avram. Right over here. Don't be afraid, Avram. I am your shield. So we can say, just like Hashem appeared to Avram and he said, don't be afraid, Hashem says to Yitzchak, so don't fear. But when we look into the reason why Hashem told Avram, don't be afraid, over there the Torah says, Rashi gives you the reason. Because Avram then had gone to war, had gone to battle against the four kings, and he ended up being saved miraculously. Hashem provided a tremendous miracle. He was a lone combatant himself. And he fought against mighty, mighty, mighty armies. So obviously his entire defeat, or he went together with Eliezer. We're talking about they were out completely. There was, you know, naturally it was impossible to win that war. And Avram won that war. It was completely a miracle. And we know that when a person... when God does a miracle for someone, so we get, even though the miracle is great, that a miracle was performed, but the person, you get charged. It's a tremendous, what are you charged? It can be a tremendous amount of merit that is deducted from a person's account. So suddenly you can check a person can go check his spiritual bank account and find that all their assets and all their money has been emptied out. They're severely, severely depleted. So Hashem came to Avram Avinu, because Hashem said to Avram Avinu, I see that what? I know that you're afraid. You might be afraid that what? That because of the miracle that I've done to you, you've lost all of your merit. And basically, all that you've done, all the good that you've done, it's gone. You've spent it all. So Hashem says to him, Altira, don't be afraid. I did this miracle. It's on the house. It's not, it wasn't, you weren't charged for it. But by Yitzchak, we don't see over here before this a big miracle happened. I mean, he dug wells, they contested him, and then he dug another well, they didn't contest it. I mean, it's special, but it doesn't seem to be this massive miracle that we should say that Yitzchak should have the same reason that he should have feared, and then Hashem has to tell him, don't be afraid. So Chassam Sofer has a very special explanation, and again related to a futuristic element that Yitzchak was experiencing. You see, by the Avos, by our forefathers, past, present, and future, meaning they're connected to God in a very deep way, so they transcend time. And when you transcend time, like with things that aren't going to happen in 3,000 years, literally are in front of their face. So the Talmud tells us, the Gemara tells us, Masechta Shabbos, that when the end of days, when Mashiach will come, the Jewish people will be in a very, very great dilemma. They'll be in a very dangerous situation. Because God is going to look into our things, and he finds a lot of sin. And Hashem is going to complain to our forefathers and say, hey, your children have sinned. And, okay, so it says that Avram and Yaakov are not going to defend us. Avram is going to say to Hashem, you got to do what you got to do. If they have to pay the price, then they have to pay the price for sin. And Yaakov is going to say the same thing. But Yitzchak is going to come to our defense. That's why we spoke about it many times. Yitzchak, ki atavinu, you are our father. Isaac is going to be the one who's going to stand up for the Jewish people. And he's going to begin negotiating with God. He's going to negotiate, even if we sinned, how much could we have sinned? And he's going to negotiate that half of our life we're busy sleeping, and therefore during our sleep we're not sinning, so it's only half the time. And then he says, he makes a whole calculation, and he says, after he deducts all the deductions, he says, so there's not so much sin left. He says, I'm going to take half upon me, God, and I'll take half upon me, and you take half the burden. You can charge me for their sins. I guess Yitzchak is basically saying, I have enough merit to cover half their sins. And you, God, you're going to take the other half. And let's split it, and we'll save them. And then Isaac continues, and Yitzchak continues arguing to Hashem, and he says, listen, Hashem, and if for whatever reason you don't want to partner up with me, and you feel it's, because Yitzchak is going to say to Hashem, the Gemara says over there, they're my children, they're not your children, they're your children as well. But then Yitzchak is going to say to God, if I need to take the full burden, well, I've sacrificed myself before you, so that should be good enough. And anyways, Sir Chassam Sofer says an interesting thing. You see from there, from Yitzchak first offering just to split it with Hashem, that he doesn't want to lose all his merit. Now, why doesn't want Yitzchak lose? I mean, it's a very noble cause. If there's anything that you have to charge your credit card for, Yitzchak is going to charge his credit card, all the credit that he has. It's to save the Jewish people. For whatever reason, he doesn't want to spend all of his assets. It's hard for him to do so. Where do we see that? We see that from Avram Avinu. That by Avram Avinu also, just as we just discussed in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu was afraid that he just swiped his card and lost and emptied his bank account. So Yitzchak, you see from his negotiating half on me and half on you, also is uncomfortable with this thing. So therefore, but in the end, he says, the Chassam Sofer says, in the end, Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people totally for free, not charging Yitzchak at all. Even though Yitzchak is going to offer, it's not going to be based on that credit. In the end, it's going to be because of, Hashem is going to do it out of pure kindness, which is the attribute of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is kindness. So Hashem is going to use the merit of Avram, which is kindness. Not that he's using Avram's merits, but he's using the method, or he's using the trait of Avram Avinu, which is pure kindness, which is being done not for any, without any charge. So Yitzchak is not going to have to use his merits. So based on that, Chassam Sofer explains amazingly what these pasuks are, what these pasukim are saying. See, in the last pasukim, it said that there were three wells. Two of them they argued, and then when they came to the third well, which was called Rehovos, which we discussed is referring to the third temple, which by then there won't be any contestant anymore, and it's broad. So being that Yitzchak was just at that well, that means that Yitzchak traveled in time and he actually was experiencing the end of days, the third temple. When Yitzchak experienced the third Beis HaMikdash, he was living future time. He was experiencing what was going to be in the future. And at that moment, he sensed that the Jewish people are going to be in danger. And he sensed that he might have to spend everything that he has to save them. So that's why the Pasuk says, Vayeda Elav Hashem Balayla Hu, that Hashem appeared to him on that night. And he said, Vayomer Enoichi Elokei Avram Avich, I'm God of Avram, your father. Al Tira, don't be afraid. Why would you be afraid that you have to take the whole burden on yourself? Don't be afraid of that. Not even that. You might be afraid that what? That even if you don't have to take the whole burden on yourself, but you'll split it with me, half on you, half on me, like Yitzchak makes the offer. That's what Hashem means. Al tira, don't be afraid, ki itcha noichi, that I'm going to have to split it with you, that I am with you, which means half on me and half on you. Don't be afraid that we're going to have to do that split in order, but at least half is going to be charged to you. Why? Berechticha, I will bless you. Why shouldn't you have to be afraid of that? Because if berechticha, I will then, when Mashiach comes, I will bless you. Veherbesi azaracha, and I will increase your children. Ba'avud Avram Avdi, with the attribute of Avram, which is chesed, pure kindness, without anything that's going to have to come off Yitzchak's account. That's the interesting pirush that the Chassam Sofer says regarding the way things are going to be worked out in the end of days. Anyways, let's continue. Vayim Shom Mizbeach, Yitzchak builds a mizbeach, an altar. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he calls out in the name of God. Vayetcha maholoy, and he settles, and he sets up his tent over there. And then they dig another well. Vayichru sham av the Yitzchak be'er, the servants of Yitzchak dug another well. Okay, now Yitzchak gets a visit. Avimelech holoch elov migror, Avimelech comes to visit him. So now Yitzchak leaves the vicinity of Avimelech. He's already in Eretz Yisrael. Now Avimelech comes to him. I haven't seen this anywhere, but it seems this is already a messianic thing. This is already after the three wells. Yitzchak doesn't have to go to negotiate with anybody. They're all coming from running to make deals with him. And that's the way it's going to be after Mashiach comes. The Gentile nation is going to come to the Jewish people to want to have a piece of the pie. Avimelech halach elach migro, went from Grov, Achizas Mareyeu, Fichol Sarzavo, he comes with his generals. And Yitzchak says to them, why are you coming now? Why are you coming? You despise me. You sent me away from you. They said, we see that God is with you. Like it's going to be when Mashiach comes. Everybody see that God is with the Jewish people. Let there be a covenant or an oath between us and between us and Beinecha, between you. Let us make a covenant with you. If you're going to harm us, we're not going to hurt you. If you're going to do with us bad, we haven't touched you. And we made your problems, but we haven't touched you. We only did good with you. We sent you peacefully. Ata, you now, B'rich Hashem, you're the blessed of God. Okay, Yitzchak doesn't argue. You treated me nicely. Yitzchak makes for them a drinking party. Vayoichlu, they ate. Vayishtu, they drank. Vayashkimu ba'boiker, they rose up early in the morning. Vayishavu ishla achiv, they made an oath one to each other. Vayishalchem Yitzchak sends them off. Vayelchu meyitam b'shalim, they went from him in peace. And the last verse, vayhi ba'yom ahu, was on that day. So we just learned earlier that the Yitzchak servants dug another well. They dug the well, they didn't tell Yitzchak yet. On that day, the servants of Yitzchak came. They told them about the well that they dug, and we found water. This is in Be'er Sheva. So Yitzchak calls it seven. That's why the city is called Be'er Sheva until today. Okay. So I want to really just discuss this last idea about the city Be'er Sheva. We're going to get to that in a moment. Just a little something on one of the verses that we just read. It says that Avimelech is saying to Yitzchak, "Im tasi imanu ra, if you do with us bad, kashalene ganucha, we haven't touched you. Kasharasino imcha rak toiv, and we did with you only good. So there's a sefer called Beis Yaakov from the Navaminsker, one of the Rebbe, the early Navaminsker Rebbe. That's what I think the Beis, is it Beis Yaakov? Karel Yaakov. I'm sorry, Karel Yaakov. Let me make sure, I think it's from the Navar. Karel Yaakov, hold on. Says always gewaldige things, and everything that he speaks about is so much about Moshiach. There are special neshamas that were always so connected to the future. Anyways, let me check. Karel Yaakov. No, it's not him. He's something else, Yaakov. Karel Yaakov is Rav Yaakov Tzvi Yalish from the Sefer Maloy HaRoyim Al HaShas. Anyways, he says like this. We know that in this pasuk is merumes the manner in which Mashiach comes, and which can happen in two ways. We know that it can happen in a way that Hashem is the one who instigates the coming of the Geula, and then the experience could be a little tough, a little rough. If we're the ones who instigate it, it's coming from our, meaning from the virtue of the Jewish people, then it's going to be on the highest level. And that's what he says the pasuk means. Imtase imanu, if you're going to be the ones doing it for us or with us, that means Hashem is going to be the one who has to bring the redemption completely on his own, without a sarusa de latata, without the arousal from below. Ra, that's not so good. Ra means bad, not good. The kasher asino imcha, but when we will do it with you, in other words, if we're the ones who will activate the geula, rak toiv, then it's going to be only good. And he relates to this that the Gemara says that regarding Jewish people and God are considered like a man and a woman, like a husband and a wife. And it says that the determination of the child, whether it's male or female, is dependent on who's the one that stimulates and engages the other in their intimacy. If it's coming from the husband, then it's actually going to be female. If it's coming from the woman, then the baby that's going to be born, and as a result of this intimacy, is going to be a male. So, whatever the science of it, I'm not getting into it, but the spiritual dynamics of it is as follows. As we apply this outside of a physical intimacy, but to a metaphoric discussion of, we're creating a child. The child is the Mashiach, the birth of Mashiach's light and Mashiach's presence in the world. If Mashiach is going to be female in a sense, or Mashiach is going to be male, I'm not getting into female, male in terms of quality of this, but in our sense, a stronger, more powerful Mashiach is dependent on the woman, which is the Jewish people, stimulating first. That's what he brings. He adds a few words over here that I didn't fully understand, but I think this is what he means. Because the pasuk says, "Im tasi imanu, if you will do with us, ra is not good. Kasher loy neganucha." That seems not to fit into this pirush. What does it mean, kasher loy neganucha, that we haven't touched you? But he says these words, kasher loy, but when we are in a state of ayin, loy, in a state of nothingness, neganucha, that's when we touch you. That's all he says. I think what he's trying to imply is that even if chas v'shalom, it has to come from above and it doesn't come from our merit, as long as we know that we're not arrogant about it, but we know that we didn't do what we should have done. Kasher loy, that when we are in a state of ayin, ach kasher loy shenitfas ba'ayin, we're going to hold out in the nothingness. Or at least we'll be humble then and recognize that we didn't do anything, not think that we did it. Then neganucha, oz neganucha, then we've touched you. And I guess the touching you, that itself is the redemption that will help us out in the situation that the geula is coming from above, but we're attached to you. But the ultimate would be much better is v'kasher asinu, that when we do the work and we really do the work, then imcha with you, then rak tov, then it's only good. Okay, just thought it's interesting. And it's a call. It's a call for us now, because we can tell that any moment the Geula is going to come, Mashiach is going to come, and we shouldn't be bystanders. We should all get involved in learning about it, teaching about it, getting excited about it, preparing ourselves. Because by doing that, we're we are assuring that the Geula is going to be a far more, is going to be only positive and only good without anything. Yeah, okay. I do want to conclude with some very, very special teaching over here. It says over here that they call the city Be'er Sheva. Ada Yoyim Azeh. Why did they call it Be'er Sheva? Yitzchak called it Shiva. Shiva means seven. The problem is that the very same city was already named in the days of Avram Avinu. So what does it mean, therefore they called it now? Avram Avinu, in the days of Avram, they called the name of the city already Be'er Sheva. So what is the Chiddush now? So the Sefarnu, Sefarnu says, Avo b'mei Avram ha'yashema ir Be'er Sheva. Avram never called it Sheva. Avram called it Sheva. Bekometz, with a kometz. Because Avram called it Shava. Shava means from the word Shavua, an oath. Yitzchak called it Sheva because of seven. But Avram called it Shava because of the oath. Why? Yitzchak is calling it seven because this is the seventh well. There are seven wells, and this is the seventh well. Where do you have seven wells? The seven wells are as follows. If you remember that in the beginning of the parsha, it says over here that it's still in the days of Avram Avinu. When Avram, I told you when I spoke about Avram with Avimelech, back then they already dug a well over there. And right over here, Avram Avinu was rebuking Avimelech about the well that he dug, and that his people are giving him problems. So that's the first well that we find already by Avram. That they had one well. Fine. Then later it says that Yitzchak redigs the wells that they dug in his father's days. And Vayisatman Pelishtim. So the Sefarnu says, and the Ramban says, that those are not the same first well that the Pelishtim contested or whatever, that they stuffed it. He proves it that those were other wells. So that's another two wells. And the Sefarnu says over here, it says, Kol HaBe'erois, all the wells that they dug in the days of Avram, his father. He says it doesn't say all, plural means two, but when it says all, it has to be at least three. So for there's three wells that they dug, that Avram Avinu dug. Yitzchak digs four wells. Asek was the one that they contested, corresponding to the first temple. And then you had, what was the second one? Sitna was the next one that they contested. Rehovos was the one that lasted, was the third one. And finally, the one that they dug in Be'er Sheva. So it's seven wells. So now you have all seven wells. So therefore, Yitzchak is the one who calls, he changes the name of the well from Sheva to Sheva. And that's what the Sefarnu says. These are the seven wells. So now comes the Chasam Sofer, and he adds, and he says, that's why you're going to see. In the Torah, till now, it's never called Be'er Sheva. It's only called Be'er Sheva. Whenever it's mentioned Be'er Sheva, not Be'er Sheva. But over here is where it's called Sheva, because Sheva means seven. And another thing, here it says the name of the city is called Be'er Sheva ad hayom hazeh, until this day. In Parashas Lech Lecha, when Avram Avinu named it Be'er Sheva, it doesn't say ad hayom hazeh. Because Avram's name, Be'er Sheva, didn't last. If you talk about that city today's days, it's not called Be'er Sheva, it's called Be'er Sheva. Because it's named after Yitzchak, but what are these seven wells? So we know, once we know that the wells is Beis HaMikdash, that's what the Ramban taught us. So the Chasam Sofer says, if we really break it down, there are really seven Beis HaMikdashes. That is, there are seven wells. What are they? The Mishkan, the tabernacle, which we're now busy building in Parshas Terumah, Tzavah, that we're learning now. That's the Mishkan, is the first one that was in the Midbar. Then the Jewish people erected a Mishkan in Gilgal. That was the first place for 14 years when they divided the land. That was the next Mishkan. The next one was Mishkan Shiloh, in the city of Shiloh, that stood 369 years. The next one was the well in Nov. The next one was the well, I'm sorry, not the well, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan in Nov, and the next one in Givon, that's five. Then, I'm sorry, Nov and Givon is considered one. Nov and Givon are considered one, does he say that? Uh, Midbar, Gilgal. Oh no, he counts Nov and Givon as two, but the Ohel Moed and the Midbar and in Gilgal is the same Ohel Moed. And that's why he considers that as one. Shiloh is the second, Nov is the third, Givon is the third, is the fourth. The first Beis HaMikdash is the first temple King Solomon built is the fifth. Second temple is the sixth, and the future one, the one of Mashiach, the third temple. These are the seven wells, and that has been completely dug, and all that tremendous godly light and godly flow coming to the world from these seven wells. And just to conclude, these seven wells, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, brings a passage from the Gemara. The Gemara has a passage as follows. Hear this. Here we go. Hold on over here. Hold on. Just want to see where the Gemara is. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, there was a person that would say as follows. There was a saying that a guy would always say. And he would say like this: if there are seven pits for an upright person, l'shalmana, shev bira, if there are seven pits l'shalmana to someone who is a shalom digger person, a completed person, he will survive them all, even though there are seven pits. The chada la'avad bish, but someone who is not a righteous person, someone who does wickedness, does bad, all he needs is one pit and he falls and he's finished. An upright person, a shalom digger person, a complete person, can have seven pits, and he will survive. Not only survive, he will remain standing and above, but one pit for a. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, one of the sages, because that was a saying that people used to say. Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, there's a pasuk, there's a verse. Kisheva yipol tzadik, that the tzadik can fall seven times, for come, but he gets up. Urishayim, but the wicked, yikashlu bera, they stumble in bad. Oh, a little bit of something, they fall, they don't get up anymore, they're gone. The Rebbe's father says an interesting thing. He says the seven wells, the seven pits that are dug for the tzaddik, can be understood on two levels. First of all, he says, Ish Shalem, the complete man, L'shalmana, the Ish Shalem, that's Yaakov Avinu. Because it says, V'yava Yaakov Shalem, Yaakov came complete. Yaakov is called Shalem, Shlemus, because he's perfect from Avram and from Yitzchak. Yaakov is the perfect man. It says, V'yakov Ish Tam. Tam means perfection. So Yaakov is Ish Shalem. The seven pits that there are the seven times that we're going to learn later in the Torah that Yaakov has to bow down to Esau. He bows down to him seven times. That's called digging seven pits. He has to bow, fall down to the ground in front of Esau. But all those seven bowings, which are submission or humility to Esau, doesn't crush him, doesn't destroy him. Because after he bows down to Esau, he actually, what he did was, through those seven bowings, he was able to take away the seven times Tameh, the seven impurities from Esav, and expose Esav's inner soul, inner root. But in addition to that, what does it say after the seven bowings? Vayava Yaakov Shalem, Yaakov comes complete to the city of Shechem. So this is the seven falling, then he comes. But the wicked, one time they fall. But then he goes on and he says, we can also learn that the seven pits that are dug, I'm not talking about seven negative pits, but seven positive pits. And who are these seven positive pits? These are the seven wells that were dug by Avram and by Yitzchak together. Avram dug three and Yitzchak dug four. Together it's seven. Who did they dig it for? They dug it for their son and grandson, for Yaakov. He is the Ish Shalem. He is the complete man that the Gemara is talking about. That what? That inherits these seven wells. And as we see from the Chasam Sofer, it means the seven temples. And where do we find that Yaakov inherits these seven wells? Because by Yaakov Avinu it says, hear this, when Yaakov leaves Eretz Yisrael, it says he goes and he sees Vihine Be'er Basada. He sees a well in the field. Remember the story, he sees a well and there's a big rock on the well. When you take a look in the pasuk over there, it mentions 7 times the word Be'er. It says, Vihine Be'er Basada, Min HaBe'er Ahu Hahi, from that Be'er. There is a big stone, Al Pia Be'er. He removes the stone, Me'al Pia Be'er, from the mouth of the well. And then he puts back the stone, Al Pia Be'er, on the opening of the well. And then, Me'al Pia Be'er, and another 2 times, Me'al Pia Be'er. So that's 7 times that it mentions it. So this is the Be'er Sheva, Yaakov Avinu. And who's the Ishalim? It's a very interesting idea. So then he continues, says really nice. Shmuel is the one who says, it says in a pasuk, because if you take the word Shmuel, he says you have the word Shalem, complete. That's the Ish Shalem, the complete person. Alevav, this is 7. So Shmuel is the one who knows that for a tzaddik, even though there are 7 pits, for Ish Shalem, or that Ish Shalem has 7 wells. Shmuel knows that because he is the Ish Shalem and he has the Alevav, which are the 7. In any case, when we remember it already, the full revelation of these 7 wells as they come all together in the final well, which is the 3rd temple, that we get to see it now, Be'ez Hashem. Join us next week, Thursday, when we'll begin learning the next story, which is the story of the blessings of Yitzchak to Esav.